The celebrations of the Lunar New Year get underway this Friday, and health authorities are concerned that the celebrations could increase the spread of the H7N9 virus in China. That's a new strain of bird flu that jumped from birds to humans last year. And according to the World Health Organization, since the disease was first reported in Shanghai, about 250 in mainland China have been affected by it. 56 people have died. Today in Hong Kong, officials began culling 20,000 chickens after poultry from mainland China tested positive for the virus. Joining us now to talk about all of this is Dr. Tom Frieden. He is the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He's with us from Atlanta. Dr. Frieden, welcome.
It's great to be with you.
Well, how is H7N9 different from the other strains of the bird flu that we've seen before and talked about before, like H5N1?
There are a few big differences. Probably the biggest is that H7N9 doesn't make the birds sick. Even though it's highly lethal for people, it's not lethal for birds, and that actually makes it much more difficult to control. When you have sick birds with H5N1, you can cull the flock and stop the spread. But to track H7N9 is much more challenging because we need to test the birds and track what's happening.
So then why are 20,000 birds, 20,000 chickens to be specific, being culled, we just learned today, in Hong Kong?
Hong Kong is quite concerned. They've had a large outbreak of H5 that they had to deal with under great challenge before. So they want to make sure that they're staying as safe as they can from H7N9. We know that the live bird markets are behind a lot of the spread, that the great majority of people who've gotten the new strain of flu in China have gotten it from contact with poultry. And we have not yet seen a significant or sustained spread from one person to another, but we are seeing it moving toward the south of China. And of course, as we come up to Chinese New Year, that makes us particularly concerned because there's so much movement around China at this time that we anticipate that there may well be an increase in cases in addition to the surge that we're in the middle of now.
Well, tell us more about that, because that is the big question. How does it get passed from bird to human or human to human? And what are you most concerned about? Do you have to actually have contact with the bird to be at risk?
We don't understand completely how it's spreading from birds to humans. We do know that the virus itself has certain genetic characteristics that make it relatively easy for it to spread from the birds to people. Fortunately, it does not yet have the genetic characteristics to spread from one person to another person, except if there's very intense close contact, such as someone who's caring for someone who's very sick, close in the family. But it's not spreading person to person yet.
Well, how do you, looking at this from Atlanta and something that is going on, it looks like, only in China, how do you look at it as the head of the CDC, and what can you do from here?
The health security of the United States is really only as strong as the health security of countries around the world. We're all connected by the food we eat, the water we drink, the air we breathe. And what we try to do is to strengthen other countries' capacity to find, stop, and prevent outbreaks where they start. That's the most effective way of doing it. That's the least costly way of doing it. And frankly, that's the right way of doing it.
So what do you do when it comes to China? Are you in contact with their health authorities?
We are very much so. In fact, ever since the SARS outbreak hit 10 years ago, we've worked very closely with the Chinese government. They came to us and they said, what can we do to strengthen our systems? And we helped them establish what they call in Chinese the China CDC, even though CDC doesn't mean anything in Chinese. That's what it's called. And we've helped them to establish systems to monitor influenza, to track the virus, to test it in the laboratory, to sequence the genome. And because of those systems, within days of H7N9 emerging, they had posted that on a site accessible to flu experts around the world, and we were able to immediately download the sequence, make a diagnostic test, and begin work on a vaccine. So that kind of collaboration over the past 10 years has helped China respond very clearly and effectively and very transparently in this case, and it's also helped us be better prepared.
Tom Frieden, for those of us who have never firsthand experienced a big outbreak of a disease, We look to movies, frankly. I mean, I've seen, you know, Outbreak, Contagion, World War Z even. When you see those films, if you have, is that realistic of what would happen, how quickly things could spread if something really bad happened?
There are a lot of realistic features of many of those movies. The fact that people can be very concerned, the fact that you have to be very upfront and tell people exactly what's happening, what you know, what you don't know, what you're doing to find it out, that we can't always prevent 100%, and that can make people very frustrated or anxious, but there are always things we can do to reduce the burden of an outbreak, whether that's preventing it effectively, finding it sooner, isolating people, supporting people who are affected by it. And what we know is that effective public health action can make an enormous difference. Public health investments are a best buy in the health sector because we're able to stop problems before they spread, we're able to prevent them from occurring in the first place, and we're able to find them quickly so that we can warn people and take appropriate action.
And your advice to most people listening to this, I assume for this season, would be wash your hands with soap.
Get a flu shot first and foremost. It's not perfect. It's not the best vaccine we have, but it's the best way to protect yourself against flu. And then wash your hands regularly and cover your cough and sneeze. And don't go out if you've got fever and cough because you don't want to infect other people.
Should we start wearing those masks?